This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Far to the east, over ranges and rivers, lies a single solitary peak. The dwarves are determined to reclaim their homeland.
I like visitors as much as the next hobbit. But I do like to know them before they come.
Visiting. Mr. Baggins?
At your service.
I'm surrounded by dwarves. What are they doing here?
Oh, they're quite a merry gathering.
So, this is the hobbit.
You asked me to find the 14th member of this company, and I have chosen Mr. Baggins.
Me? No.
Hobbits can pass unseen by most if they choose, which gives us a distinct advantage.
We will seize this chance to take back Erebor!
Here, Mr. Bilbo, where are you off to?
I'm going on an adventure!
Mithrandir, why the halfling?
Why Bilbo Baggins? Perhaps it is because I'm afraid. And it gives me courage.
So this is your purpose, to enter the mountain?
What of it?
There are some who would not deem it wise.
A dark power has found a way back into the world.
Why don't we have a game of riddles?
And if it loses, what then? If it loses, precious, then we eat it. If Baggins loses, we eat it whole.
Fair enough.
I will take each and every one of these dwarves over the mightiest army. Loyalty. Honor. A willing heart. I can ask no more than that.
Home is now behind you. The world is ahead.
Oh boy, wow. This is Newcomers, and we've made it only to the fifth episode.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm sad. I'm Nicole Byer.
And we've never seen Lord of the Rings, which is becoming less and less true as we go on. This is the fifth episode of our new season. We are working our way through the Lord of the Rings franchise for the first time with the help of nerds, super fans, sometimes even people who've contributed to the movies. And we started with the Lord of the Rings trilogy that came out around throughout the 2000s. But now we're watching all of the Hobbit movies, and we're going to be revisiting fan fiction, checking out the spinoffs, animated versions, and more and more.
Yeah. And if you want to follow along or you just don't like life, you can watch The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. You can rent it on Amazon Prime for $2.99 or stream it on HBO Max and or Hulu. This is the first of three movies.
Oh, my God. And so now we're starting. Yeah, we're starting the trilogy. And
I'm
today
so
we are discussing the first installment of Peter Jackson's trilogy. And we're giving. OK, so Nicole, you clearly hated this, right? I mean, just right off the bat.
Yes, this was really horrific. It was just a lot.
I have a hot take for you.
What is that hot take?
I liked this.
This is wild, Lauren.
Whoa.
Let's just introduce our guest because we have to talk about how and why you liked it. So today we're joined by John Braylock. John is an actor, a comedian, a writer, a producer. He's been in Broad City, Astronomy Club, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, How to Be Single. He co-hosts a podcast, Black Men Can't Jump, in Hollywood. Welcome, John!
Hey,
oh my God, hi, John.
Thank you. Wow.
Wait, Lauren, the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, so. You blew me away. I'm not going to lie. I truly can't believe it. I like this movie as well, but I don't believe that you like it.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's even interesting that you like it, and yet it's still weird to hear me say I like it. I liked it. And I think, I mean, I'm putting that, of course, in the context of hating the other ones pretty much, except for like 5 minutes here and there. I actually thought this one was like really kind of fun. And I thought it was cute. And I liked that it was kind of funny. And I thought that it had like a sort of fairy tale energy that I could really follow. And I was like really clear on what was happening the whole time. I thought the fight sequence was like actually pretty fun and like unexpected. Yeah, I don't know. I watched it in two installments. I watched it last night and today, so I didn't love it enough that I was like, let's keep going last night. It wasn't like it was that fun. But when I had to put it on again today, I was like, all right. Like I wasn't pissed. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, I was full blown so upset to have to continue the movie this afternoon. Yeah. I started it last night, my fault, late. I started at about 11, and then by 1, I was like, I must go to sleep. I am sleepy.
Yeah, the runtime's 2 hours and 48 minutes. I mean, we're not joking around. These people.
It's kind of criminal. Like, I mean, let's just be real about it up front. So I don't know if you guys probably know this, right? But The Hobbit is based off a children's book. It was written first.
Tell us everything. I
didn't know it was a children's book.
Okay, so this is the thing this is the thing that makes it so weird is that The Hobbit, yes, it was 100% a children's book in the same realm as like C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, right? Like it's made for children. It that was the target audience when it was written, you know? And then Tolkien, he decided to, or I guess was always going to perhaps maybe make like an adult version of the universe, like the Middle Earth universe. And he did that with Lord of the Rings. But those books came out, I think they were published something like, you know, 15, if not 20 years after The Hobbit. And then he rewrote The Hobbit to match up and like link up more directly with Lord of the Rings. So there's like new stuff in the book that wasn't in like the first version that none of us would have read because it came out in like 1937. Or something.
That's so wild that these people are like, all right, I wrote it. Guess what? You bought it. It's not done. Here's the remix. It's like, it's crazy because Star Wars, he kept tinkering with it. And you got these like other scenes that people didn't like. And then it's wild that he wrote The Hobbit for children and was like, the adults need it too. All right, here's a new Hobbit.
Why do you think they made the Lord of the Rings trilogy first? Like, was that just more beloved?
Well, it's just a much more substantial book or series of books. Like, it is both for adults and children, right? Like, or at least families. And it's much more rich. Like, I think it's better. I mean, it's hard to call one or the other better just because they're for two different audiences. It's like comparing.
So I liked
some,
the kid one.
Yeah. You liked the kid one. Yeah. Which is why I initially was like, I was like, oh, maybe they'll like The Hobbit because it is, I know you guys like.
We're stupid.
Return of the Jedi.
we're two dummies.
I know you like the kid elements to some of the Star Wars films.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this is more kid. But when I rewatched it, I was like, I always knew that it was too long. But I was like, my God, it's so hard to watch these movies by yourself on a television. These really are movies that are meant for, you know, movie theaters. Because if you're not watching it in a movie theater, I don't know. You're it's a lot to get through.
It is.
It is so much. It's like a lot of information.
Yeah, I feel like also we have to keep in mind that we are watching all of these movies within like 4 days.
Yes.
Like every week we put on like a new 3-hour epic movie that is beyond comprehension. So, John, how did you become a Lord of the Rings fan?
I saw the movies first, and it was something that my family, like, we went to, because they came out, I believe, like 1 year after another, right? And they were always coming out during like Christmas time. I feel like they came out like 1, 2, 3 in a row, like 2002, 3, 4, something around like that. And so it was something that my family and I would watch. We would go to the movies. We have like what a part of our Christmas tradition was to go and see a movie like on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we would watch them together. And then after watching the first one, my dad like bought the book. I also grew up like pretty Christian. So I knew about, like, I'd known about Chronicles of Narnia and was a fan of those books. And they had like made for TV movies. This was before they started making the other ones.
Those Chronicles of Narnia, where they would be like weird PBS.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I remember watching those.
Yeah, I never knew those were religious until I was an adult. Like, I never
got that. I didn't know that they were religious until right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like C.S. Lewis was really religious. Like, so it was kind of like written into everything, but they were really fantastical as well.
Yes.
So it was just, seemed imaginary.
It's easy to miss the allegories. And I mean, the idea was to kind of, you know, transfer the ideas of like courage and love and, you know, like small, like the Lord of the Rings is similar in this, you know, aspect of like, you have the hobbits, which are very kind of small, not unseemly. What was I going to say? Like, you don't notice them. Creatures.
Earnest, subtle. Yeah.
And they wind up being the heroes of, you know, the stories, both in The Hobbit and in Lord of the Rings.
So they sped up the frame rate, so it felt jarring, and I was like, ugh, everything seems too sharp, and it was so it seemed more lifelike. And I was like, I don't need a movie to see more. I know it's a movie.
I didn't know they did that. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it was recorded in like 48 frames per second. Movies are typically like 24 frames per second, so it's like double the speed.
Yeah.
It's kind of, what I equate it to is, you know, if you go to like an electronic store and there's like televisions on display, they have this like kind of smoothing technology. So sometimes you're looking at it and you're like, why does it look weird?
Yeah.
Like, it's similar to that. But it was the first time a film, The Hobbit was the first time a film had ever been recorded in like a 48.
The first movie to do. I didn't like it. It felt like too real, but then also it was mixed with cartoony shit. So like when they're flying in the sky on these like eagles or whatever, I was like, ugh, you people look super real. This eagle doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, with all the Star Wars movies, I always preferred the practical effects. And I felt like the CGI stuff was like too much, especially because they were like doing a lot of stuff for the first time too. And it just seemed like it was so video game looking. But with this, I thought it was kind of cute. I don't know why my whole opinion was so different about this, but I didn't mind the eagles. I was like, get them. And then I was like, get swoop back around. Like, I just was like having fun. I mean, maybe I was in the right mood for this, but it worked.
Maybe. Maybe I was in a bad mood for this because it started out with all this talking that I was like, I don't fucking care.
I did complain about that.
I was just like, give me the people I know. But then I forgot, like, just like. Right. With the Star Wars movies, you're like, who's that? And you'll find out later.
And to be fair, Nicole, this is everyone, even people who like these movies will admit that they are way too long. Mm-hmm. That this book, not only was The Hobbit a children's book, but it was shorter in length than any one chapter, than any one chapter of the 3 Lord of the Rings movies.
What?
Meaning they took a book that was shorter than any 3 Lord of the Rings books themselves and then split that shorter book into three movies, which is insane.
And they're all
and
3 hours.
Clearly a money grab.
Yeah.
And they're all, yeah. And not only are they three movies, but the movies themselves are 3 hours long. So there's so much stuff in here that is not in the book at all whatsoever. It's all embellished. And the reality is because this is one story split into three movies, it suffers the same fate as any of those books that like the Mockingjay that's split into two, or you know, any movie that's like part one and part two. And then you watch it, you're like, this wasn't a full story. So like, it's like taking act one of any movie and then making that the whole movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's not until 40 minutes in when they actually leave. Like that's like page like 10. You know what I mean? Like,
that's insane. Well, wait, listen to this like fact. So Peter Jackson admitted on the DVD featurette that much of the Hobbit movie was made up on the spot. Jackson said they would often be forced to shoot scenes without storyboards or even completed scripts, with Jackson just making it up as I went along. Now that would piss me off.
Wow. Yes. That's truly so insane. I would be like, you brought me here and you don't have a game plan?
And like, it's a expensive movie to not know what you're doing.
Yes.
But they knew that so many Lord of the Rings fans would just come and watch this, which they did. It made a lot of money. So.
Yeah, but they all hated it, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was like a love-hate relationship. It's a similar with the prequels, you know, in the sense that even though people don't like them, those movies still made a ton of money and people still kept watching them, you know?
Right.
It's like, even though even if they don't. Yeah, you're still excited because you love the world. You love the universe. Yeah.
There's no backwalls to this, right? There's
backwall.
Oh my God.
You got the prequels. You got the core three. And then you got
the quals. And then you got the backwalls.
Well, so there is a book that was released, and it's one of these things that was it was released after Tolkien died, but so it was released by his son, but it's called The Silmarillion, and that's like a backstory to like Middle Earth and like the world and explains like a lot about like they keep calling this the Third Age. Like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings take place in the Third Age, but there was like, this book talks about what the First Age was and what the Second Age was.
Were there black people in those ages?
You know, there should be black people in all these movies, and there aren't. And I think about that all the time.
They're the whitest movies ever.
They don't need to be white. There's no reason for that.
It's fake.
It's all fake. There's 13 dwarves, there's men, and they make all of them white. It's like, it was like you could at least, even Ocean's 13 put one black guy in it. You know
what
I mean?
You're going out of your way at that point. It's like, there's so many different types of people, like the trolls, the hobbits, the dwarves, the elves. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Do you feel like you could tell that he was making it up? I think I would say that about any of them, honestly, because they're so meandering, but.
Oh,
funny. Mean, I guess I didn't. Well, there was some stuff that I was like, wait, the fuck? Like that man who had a bird's nest for hair and then was given life to these dead rodents. I was like, who are you? And then he like wasn't really that important.
Yeah, that was so weird.
He's not in the book. So he's a he's a wizard that's talked about, or I think is like briefly mentioned, but you never see.
Wait, he's a wizard?
I forgot that whole scene. He literally got hedgehogs that were like, one was dying and he was like blowing on it and like putting like little like smelling salts by it. And he was like, nothing's working.
Yes. And then the other hedgehogs were like, wait, our friend. And he's like, get away from her. And then he gives her like that blue juice and then like breathes life back into it. And there was no point.
There was no point to that. That's so funny.
That was completely made up. But Lauren, did you like, I feel like Lauren liked that part.
Like that part. It was cute.
Yeah,
I was like,
that was cute.
I did like that part.
It was like, what's happening here? Like, oh, this little guy, he needs help. And like, it was just so dramatic and it felt like really silly. And then, and like the way he was like trying to put stuff by its mouth was funny to me.
Yeah.
I liked him.
The character's name is Radagast. I blanked on the name for a second, but yeah, that's Radagast. He's mentioned. There's like five wizards, you know, but he's just mentioned as like my cousin in X Woods. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, let's see this guy. What would he be like? And what would he do in the woods? You know, and watching him save a little hedgehog with like from who knows what, like from some evil magic, I guess, was very cute.
Wasn't he saving him from the necromander?
Necromancer.
Oh, that was scary, that thing, which we never yeah. saw again. I thought that was going to play a bigger role.
Me too. There was a lot of things where I was like, we're getting little dips.
Yeah.
Remember, it's a very short book stretched out into three movies.
I have to say, I also might have a soft spot for it because I was in this play when I was a kid. And it was like one of my first plays I ever did. It was like a children's theater in my town. Low stakes. But I was very excited. And my character was one of the troll. I don't know if it's considered a troll in this movie, but I was a troll. And it's when they're those really three like disgusting naked things that are eating, trying to eat them on the spit.
Oh, when they turn to stone?
Did they turn to stone? Yeah, they turned to stone.
They did. Yeah. They're trolls.
I was one of those.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait, I was so confused about them turning to stone because I was like, all right, they're chilling. They're terrorizing. And then all of a sudden, Gandhi splits the rock and then there's the sun and I was like, are they like allergic to the sun? Also, if the sun was shining the whole time, why weren't they stoned the whole time?
Yeah. So it's one of these things of like the trolls, if they are exposed to sunlight, will turn to stone. In the book, Gandalf confuses them by imitating their voices. And gets them to keep arguing with each other. And then as they're arguing, they don't realize that the sun is coming up. And so then they turn to stone. In the movie, that would be much more, it's a little harder to do. And it just looked cooler for Gandalf to once again be like, you shall not pass. But he didn't say that, but you know, it's a similar action.
Didn't you feel like Gandalf was sillier in this one?
He was too silly.
Very.
And I was like, wait, the fuck? This is not who you are later. Also, he looked older, which bothered me. I know it shouldn't have.
Right.
And I was told very rudely by the people who live with me, well, it was 12 years later, Nicole. Of course he looks older. And I was like, but in the world, he's younger. So why didn't a younger actor play him?
It does make it more confusing because I thought these movies came out first. I was very confused about the timeline of everything. And then, yeah, he looks older. It feels like we have the CGI maybe now to like just make him look younger. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a thing probably. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. The actor was older. I mean, you couldn't recast that part though. Ian McKellen is just so great.
He is
as
the
Gandalf.
Best.
And he is sillier because the character is sillier in The Hobbit because The Hobbit's a children's book.
Yeah, because like there was that part with like Cate Blanchett where he was like, she was like, you already knew, and he was like, aah. Like he was like making a weird face or like, aah.
Yes, I do. I kind of love Gandalf in this movie because he's so mischievous and like he keeps kind of like disappearing and he's like fighting with both like you know all the different trolls and fighting with Bilbo at the same time. Like he's very. He's not the kind of like all-knowing sage that he becomes in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Though they still try to have it that way too. It's a little confusing. It's hard. It's always hard when you retrofit something. And the book was retrofitted. Mm-hmm. And then the movies came out after Lord of the Rings. So.
Well, that's also part of like with him making shit up, like while he's making it, Peter Jackson, like how does that happen when you already have this text that is like written a book and a script? And then you're like, how do you get loose when like you need so much CGI and other things going on?
Right. I feel like Peter Jackson just felt because he did such a great job with the Lord of the Rings movie. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things about the Lord of the Rings movies too, is like, there really weren't that many examples of fantasy movies that were on such a huge budget that could like transform these, like, you know, I guess Harry Potter was happening at a similar time, but these movies did better and they were like more, they were critically acclaimed too. Like they won Oscars, you know, they were nominated for Oscars like almost every year. I don't think Harry Potter ever got that. And because that probably more because it was children, I guess.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
No, I don't.
It isn't fair.
Not that I'm like a Harry Potter freak or something. I'm just like.
Right.
Well, I mean, J.K. Rowling makes it hard to like Harry Potter.
That's the thing. She's really turning anyone who might have gotten into this. But
yeah, it's kind of wild. I'm like, what is your deal? Just like have your money and be quiet.
That's the thing. I'm like, you could have your horrible opinion to yourself in your mansion with everything anyone could ever want. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we should take a quick break and we'll be right back with more about The Hobbit.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say your aunt?
And dare you say my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, we're back.
Should we get into the plot?
Let's do it.
All right. So Hobbit Bilbo Baggins. He begins writing down the full story of his adventure that took place 60 years prior with his nephew Frodo, the dwarf king Thoro. He brought an era of prosperity for his people under the Lonely Mountain until the arrival of the dragon Smaug. Smaug destroyed the town of Dale and drove the dwarves out of their mountain and stole their gold. Thorin, Thoro's grandson, sees King Thorandu and his wood elves. Wait, wood elves? I missed that.
I don't know what a wood elf is.
On a nearby hillside is upset.
Oh, those little guys. The whole thing. The crew that was falling off the tree at that point and everything, right? That's what a wood elf is?
I think. Yes.
Yeah.
And they're upset when they look at them and leave instead of helping them. This leaves Thorin's lifelong hatred of elves.
So the wood elves are the wood elves are just elves for the purpose of this movie. It's the it's just the elves. But in the book, The Hobbit, they were called wood elves. But they're just elves that live in the woods. But they're the same,
like Cate Blanchett and Brock McKenzie and whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think in the beginning of this movie, An Unexpected Journey, you see the quote unquote wood elves. One is like on this really big elk, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he's like looking down and they're like, help us. The dwarves are like, help us. And then he looks down and he turns.
Like, nah. See you later, guys.
Yeah. And it's supposed to kind of dramatize this rift between the dwarves and the elves because they felt betrayed.
I see.
Oh, OK. So then when they all come together later, it's like cool or whatever. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So right. In the Shire, Bilbo is tricked by Gandalf into hosting a party for Thorin and his crew of dwarves. Gandalf's goal is to recruit Bilbo to help them enter the Lonely Mountain. Bilbo is not into it, but changes his mind when they leave without him the next day. As they travel, the gang ends up captured by three trolls. That's me. Bilbo stalls the trolls from eating them until dawn, and then Gandalf exposes them to sunlight. Oh, I do remember freezing in on stage like this when I was dying.
Very fun. I wish I saw that.
I actually know who has the video, and I don't want to ask.
I need you to. want is to see you in The Hobbit.
As they travel, they get captured by trolls. The sunlight causing the trolls to turn to stone. They find treasure and elven blades in the trolls' cave, which they take.
I mean, okay. So the whole party at Bilbo's house, I was like, this is a lot. And then there was a song. And I was like, is this a musical? And then the boys I live with were like,
it is.
I mean, kind of. There's more songs later.
I liked the whole dinner party scene. I liked when they were throwing the plates. I thought it was very
this
fun.
This was Bilbo Baggins hates.
And I sang a song in The Hobbit, and it went a little something like this. Mutton yesterday, mutton again today. That's all we got is mutton, 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 mutton.
Oh boy. Yes.
Mutton yesterday, mutton all last week. Looks like it's mutton tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow.
My God. I love it. I'm here for
That's
it.
That's incredible.
We
That's
have to
so
get our
fun.
Little fingies on that tape.
It has to be the worst thing ever filmed, I'm sure. We got to find it.
Also, one of the dwarves looks like Jimmy Fowley.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that's who he was posting about.
Jimmy Fowley, who, if you're listening, you don't know, is a comedian who is like so fucking funny.
So funny.
He posts, he does look like that one dwarf who wants chips at one point. And he's like, I don't eat green stuff.
I don't eat greens.
He has like full on like bowl cut bangs, but like a long haircut.
Ori.
Jimmy posted that picture like it was a selfie, and then he did it every single day for like a month, and people were getting so mad. And then now he has a relationship like online with that guy. He's like buddies with him on
really?
Instagram.
That's
yes. Incredible. That guy's supportive of it.
I bought the shirt that he was selling with that face on it, and I wear it a lot.
It has new meaning now.
It's so funny. And I had no idea it was from Lord of the Rings. We were watching it, and I was like, Jimmy Fowley? And John laughed really hard and was like, no, that's the guy that Jimmy's been talking. I was like, oh my God.
It's so good. I think I need this shirt now.
Oh, it really made me giggle.
Amazing.
Okay, so the wizard Rastafarian and the brown finds Radagast? Is that how you say it?
That's what I would say.
Radagast.
The brown finds Gandalf and company and tells him about an encounter at Dol Guldur with a necromancer, a sorcerer who's been corrupting Greenwood with dark magic. Chased by orcs, Gandy and the company through a hidden passage to Riverdale, where L. Ron Hubbard discloses a hidden indication of a secret door on the company's map of Lonely Mountain, which is only visible on Durin's Day. Gandy later approaches with the White Council, consisting of Elrond, Galadriel, and Samaron the White. Is that Count Dooku, Samaron the White?
Yeah, Christopher Lee. Yeah, it's the same actor, yeah.
So Count Dooku and presents
And this is when they were getting along. Like they, I was confused, and Mike explained this to me because it's since it takes place before, he was his mentor, and then he turns on him and spins him around in that fight.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was his mentor, but also I was like, this feels fake. I was like, I don't.
Because he has ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Well, you still don't even in this movie, you know, knowing what you know from Lord of the Rings, you're still like, is he, because he, in that scene, he keeps defending, he keeps saying like, no, there's no way that that's true. And you're like, is he corrupted already? You kind of don't know.
Yeah.
This is also not in the book at all. So it's completely.
Oh, this might have been like the improv scene.
Yeah, this is one of the improv scenes where he's like, I don't know. Will they, won't they? Act however you want.
Yeah. I think it's something that was maybe taken from the Silmarillion, but I don't know because I never read that. But I think it's like assumed something like this could have been happening.
Uh-huh.
Knowing the timeline, but it's not in the actual book, The Hobbit.
Here's a fun fact. I didn't realize Sauron and Samaron were two different things.
Well, yes.
Wait, you still don't know the difference?
Sauron
you got
is,
through three.
Oh, don't expect us to retain this.
Sauron is the like fire pussy. And then Samaron is the person.
Saruman, yeah, is the wizard, is the white wizard. Sauron is the ultimate bad guy, and he's the eye that you keep seeing in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Oh.
But I feel like this point has been made, but their names
are
very confusing.
One should be like Carl, and the other one should be Gary, you know? Like, so it's different.
Basically, this is like Saruman and Swamaran are like the Ben and Ben of Star Wars. It's like, you can't use Ben multiple times when the name could be anything.
Good point. I never even thought about that. Wow.
Well, we've been watching and retaining. So
Ben,
we're
Ben.
Here to teach.
Two Bens, you're right.
But Saruman the White, let's see, the White Council, which is so funny that it's called the White Council. And it's like, yeah, duh.
Yeah, we
Everybody
know.
Hears
yeah,
all
we are. We already know it's the freaking White Council.
And they present a Morgul blade, a weapon of the Witch King of Angmar, which Radagast, obtained from Doll Girl as a sign that the necromancer is linked to an eventual return to Sauron, while Saruman expresses concerns to the even more present matter of the dwarves' quest, requesting that Gandhi put an end to it. Gandhi secretly reveals that Galadriel, that he had anticipated this and had the dwarves move on without him. Gotta say, the hardest paragraph of my life was
Honestly, it's hard to follow.
I was going to say, for anyone out there listening who just isn't watching but is learning from us explaining it, they're like, still don't know.
Still have no clue. And to be honest, it was that confusing inside the movie itself.
Right? The movie was confusing.
That whole part I found really confusing when they were having that meeting with the wizards, and I didn't really...
It's like they're doing it. It's like fan service, right? Like they're doing it for the people. Essentially, they're doing it for people who watch the Lord of the Rings movies, mm-hmm. but never read the books, never read The Hobbit, and then are going to watch The Hobbit as if it's some sort of prequel, mm-hmm. you know, which I guess technically it is. And so they're trying to connect those storylines. So you're like, oh, like, look, it was happening then, you know, because this story takes place, I forgot how many years, like 60 years or something 60. Before. Yeah. So, but the thing is, it has nothing to do with the actual plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. Or of the Hobbit series. So it's this weird side piece that if you don't really understand it, it's hard for people who do understand it because mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with the story. Like all of the things that they talk about, you know, they do follow up with it. You'll see more in the other sequels. Like they keep this weird kind of tangent going, but it's ultimately not like... It's all made up for these movies, so it doesn't have as much substance.
Are the dwarves power players in the next two movies as well?
I mean, that's your company. You follow those dwarves with...
I don't love them.
I like
them.
They're
not quite charismatic.
I think they're all disgusting, but I like them.
Yeah, I think it's tough because it's like it's like a fun company, but you don't really... other than maybe, you know... like Oakenshield, you don't really know who mm-hmm. they are. Like, you know who the leader is, but then the other ones, like, they don't really distinguish them enough. And so even when, as you keep going on, it's hard to be like, oh, that it's not, it's like the Seven Dwarves, you know, mm-hmm. you need kind of names like Sleepy and Dopey. Like you need those things to know what the personalities of these dwarves are supposed to be.
That would be nice. I felt like at the point where they were all maybe going to die when that tree was falling, I was like, mm-hmm. let's let a few of them go. Like, I was like, it's okay. Just for some drama.
Let's let a few of them go.
Let's let a few of them go. Yeah.
I was missing... I know I made fun of the Sam-Frodo bromance, but I was really missing... like love.
Yeah, these movies do not have that heart.
They don't have love, but I love Martin Freeman. I think he's such a charming actor.
He's so good.
Very charming and very wonderful.
He carries the weight of like Elijah and the other guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He just doesn't have... and it's kind of a problem with the source material because it's the point of this of the book, you know, is like it's just this guy who lived a really humble life and never left his hometown. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden a wizard shows up on his door and is like, do you want to go on an adventure? And he's like, no. And then the wizard convinces him to, and then there's a part of him. They don't really explain this in the movies, but he has his mother's blood. So he's both a Baggins, that's his father's side of the family. And he's also a Took, that his mother's maiden name is Took. And so his Tookish blood is more prone to adventure. And so like, it's about his, like this adventurous side of him that he always got, that he always had from his mother gets like, you know, ignited because he has the chance to go on an adventure. Huh.
I feel like that would be a really important thing to include. Like, I think that would be interesting. And I actually think the beginning would have been cooler if it was really clear, like, because I feel like I didn't really hold on to that part of it where like he's like, I don't want to go and I'm just a humble guy mm-hmm. or whatever. I feel like that would have been a more interesting story because I feel like near the end he was like, I should have never left. Like I'm not meant to like be doing stuff like this. I thought that was more relatable. Like it was like the heart that you were kind of, you know what I mean? Like I would have liked to have been thinking that the whole time about him, but mm-hmm. I wasn't really.
Yeah, it's I don't know. They like, I think they technically included it in like one line, but they didn't really play it up. And it's tough because the scene when he decides to go, it's there's no real reason for it. He's just
It felt like he just woke up and was like, I should be going.
He like woke up and they're all gone. And he like, I guess because they were gone, he was like, wait a minute, I actually do want to go now. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, you like, you buy it for the sake of the movie, but it's such a weak. It's so to watch Lord of the Rings where they're like, we have to destroy this ring to save the Middle Earth. Like, you have to save this whole universe. And then this movie, it's just like a guy who's like, I want an adventure. The stakes are like 100,000 times
low.
And they had to like kind of create these stakes of, I think with this movie, the idea was supposed to be like, at the end, he's like, well, I realize that you guys, that I have a home, but you guys don't have a home, and I want you to find a home.
But which didn't is you a think nice... he was bullshitting?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he was going like, yeah, because he was like pretending he didn't have the ring, and he was like, oh, because like, I thought like, I'm here because like, and I care about you. And then Gandalf was like, yeah. And they were like winking, and he was like, okay. And like, the other guy was like.
That's one of the scenes they improvised, and they were like, I don't know, let's just honestly, keep that in.
It might have been because
it was really it was
that
really,
line isn't in the book.
You yeah, know? Like, he was like, I realized I had a home, and he's literally holding onto the ring in his pocket. And Gandalf's like, I know what's happening here, which is there's a lot in those looks. Gandalf's giving these looks that are like very like
a lot of looks. There's a lot of looks in this movie in general. There's a lot of people staring and looking and not saying anything.
Do you feel like Peter Jackson was like, let's just do some like filler looks and I can kind of like put these in wherever, like be like, I know something. Like, just give me a little.
And then
now
he
you're
left
scared.
All of them in.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, when we need it, I'll sprinkle it in. And then he was like, I like all 13 of these. Let's have a. I feel like at the end of the movie, they were like, all right, let's get a shot of every single person looking at Bilbo and then looking at Gandalf and looking at each other.
Well, that's like all the movies. The movies really love unnecessary shots.
They do.
Like, I was so upset in the last one that we watched that there was 100 different endings. But then we found out in the book there's a bunch of different endings.
Yeah, there's even more. Yeah.
Wait, there's more in the book?
In the Return of the King you're talking about.
Yeah. I didn't
like,
know.
Like, yeah, there's
more.
Another ending. Like, there's a whole thing where Bilbo goes back to the Shire and it's like overrun by orcs, and so they have to like save the Shire.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Wait, that's wild.
Yeah. That's it's too long.
Yeah, that is too long.
What's funny is that there's enough material, there's a lot of material left out of Lord of the Rings because they had to be concise to like fit it into a reasonably
watchable
movie.
But why not turn them into six different movies?
Well, they didn't know that they could do that until, I feel like the first movie to really do that was Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, where they split that up into two
And they
movies.
Split it up into two because it was like, it was so dense and they were like, we feel like the fans would want this. And then when it did gangbusters, both part one and two both made like, you know, a gazillion dollars, then Hollywood was like, wait a minute. You mean we could take one story and split it up and make it like it's a franchise and then people will come and watch it? And once they did that, all hope was lost. So
truly. I think they did that. Did they do that with the last Hunger Games book?
Yep, they did it like
last Hunger
Games.
Which is so wild because the Hunger Games books are literally this thin.
Exactly.
There's like not much material in the Hunger Games
really?
Books.
Really?
Yeah, they're like a real quick read. Suzanne Collins said, I'll get you in and I'll get you out.
It's exactly this movie. The Hobbit is just as short and quick of a read.
Also, the name Suzanne Collins doesn't ring any bells. Like, she has not been given enough credit with those movies.
No, she hasn't.
I've never heard it in my life. And yet I know everything about it. I've seen The Hunger Games.
That's fair. Yeah, that's true.
You know, let's put by Suzanne Collins at the top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should. I have my issues with the Hunger Games because Katniss Everdeen is described as having like darker skin and like darker hair. And I was like, I don't think she'd be white because like, no offense to white people. I feel like if we were doing the Hunger Games, they would be the ones in charge. So like, I feel like the people who'd be fighting would just be like different people of color. So I feel like Katniss is supposed to be Brazilian. That's what I feel in my heart. That's my hot take.
I'd buy it.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm with you. I'm with you all the way.
I should probably keep going with this plot because we haven't gotten
through. Oh, yeah. It's long. Okay.
The company journeys into the Misty Mountains where they find themselves amid a colossal battle between stone giants. I liked this part. Did you like the stone giants?
I didn't mind them.
They were interesting and scary. So they take refuge in a cave and are captured by goblins who take them to their leader, the Great Goblin. Bilbo becomes separated from the dwarves and falls into a crevice where he encounters Gollum, who unknowingly drops a golden ring. Pocketing the ring, Bilbo finds himself confronted by Gollum, and they play a riddle game, betting that Bilbo will be shown the way out if he wins, or eaten by Gollum if he loses. Bilbo eventually wins by asking Gollum what he has in his pocket. Noticing his ring is lost, Gollum realizes that Bilbo possesses it and chases him. Bilbo discovers that the ring grants him invisibility, but when he has a chance to kill Gollum, Bilbo spares his life out of pity, which is the biggest mistake, and escapes while Gollum shouts his hatred towards the hobbit Baggins.
Lauren hates Gollum. I don't love Gollum, but I appreciate a Gollum. I think I'm a creature of habit. I like the things I recognize.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize Gollum, so I enjoyed it because I heard about how he got the ring from Gollum, so it was nice to see. But that being said, Gollum is real ugly.
Just disgusting. Yeah. And he had a chance to kill him.
He's like a cave creature. Like, he would be in a horror film, he would be the monster that's, like, killing everybody. Because that's what he is. Like, he actually, like, in essence, he's surviving off of, like, the spare fish and then goblins that fall down. And he eats them.
Goblins?
He was going to eat. Well, he remember was
that guy?
Bilbo.
He was like beating that guy to death. And the guy would wake up and be like, and he was like, shut the fuck up. And he like knocked him out again.
Shut the fuck up.
And the reason he talks to himself, it's like also the ring. Like, they talk about that. But it's also just the fact that he's lived this life of solitude where he's, you know, he has no one else to talk to. So he's like gone crazy and talks to himself.
He's true. And he's so clumsy with the ring. He just dropped it and it's his precious.
It's like he needs a string or something.
Yeah. He should have put it on a string.
He should use one of his stringy hairs. Yeah.
Yes. Pull out one of your nasty 8 little stringy hairs and make yourself a little string necklace.
So the thinking behind this is not in the movie whatsoever, but the thinking behind it is that he can't, like, the ring has corrupted him and, like, kind of turned him into this creature, and he can't hold on to it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he has to like put it at different places to, like, kind of get some separation from it. So he misplaces it and loses it. But it's also just like in this story, it's just this fantastical story where there's a creature that's called Gollum who likes giving riddles. You know, if you think about it, all of everything in these stories is like taken from some other kind of folklore.
Yeah.
It's nothing too new. Or I feel like hobbits are the most original thing to come out of Lord of the Rings. Like,
I agree with that. I just wish that the stories were just a little bit more streamlined, so it was easier to understand. Because I felt like I'd be watching scenes and then the scene would end and I'd be like, I know if I ask what happens, John will get mad at me and be like, I saw you watching. Why don't you understand what happened?
That is me. I mean, or I look away for 1 second. He's like, you have to watch if you're going to talk about it. And I'm like,
but it's just, it's hard to like keep up with when you're like, I'm literally just watching a bunch of people wearing fur walk through mountains.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's just, it's a lot to like take in.
Are you guys gonna watch the animated Hobbit movie?
I think so.
That movie, just to give you perspective, that movie is one movie. It includes the plots from the first, second, and third movies that you're watching now, and it is 1 hour and like 12 minutes long.
Oh, wow. We're gonna like it.
Okay. So we're gonna love that.
That is, this story can be told in a very concise way and not skip a beat. Like, you wouldn't, it's the same exact storyline. But this movie is like, you know, a Martin Scorsese film where they're like, let's just stretch everything out to the maximum possible.
It really is stretched. Okay. So meanwhile, the Great Goblin reveals to the dwarves of Yazan, an orc war chief who killed Thoro and lost his forearm to Thorin in the battle outside the Dwarven Kingdom of Moria, which has placed a bounty on Thorin's head. Gandalf arrives and leads the dwarves in an escape, killing the great goblin. Bilbo exits the mountain and rejoins the company, keeping his newly obtained ring secret. The company is ambushed by Yazan
from 90 Day.
Yeah, Yazan from 90 Day Fiancé and his hunting party and takes refuge in the trees. Thorin charges at Yazan, who overpowers and severely injures him with his warg. Bilbo saves Thorin from the arcs and challenges Azog. Just as the company is rescued by eagles, implied to be sent by Galadriel.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I didn't get why the eagles came either.
I know that Gandalf spoke to the butterfly and like sent it off, and I thought the butterfly got them.
Oh.
But I guess.
Yeah, actually, that's what I thought too. But I guess it was the, I guess it was Galadriel in this movie. In the book, it's just the eagles see, they see the fires. They come. They actually can talk.
Oh, that'd be helpful.
And they come and they save them. And the reason that they save them is because Gandalf like helped them once.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they escape to safety of the Karak, where Gandalf revives Thorin, who renounces his previous disdain for Bilbo after saving him. I was calling him Diplo earlier.
Diplo is really good.
Bilbo.
Bilbo. I don't know why it's so hard for me to remember.
Bilbo saved Thorin. And so then Thorin was like, I like you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very dramatic when he was like, I told you that you would be a hindrance and a burden. Mm-hmm. And
he was like, damn.
I couldn't be more wrong.
He had me fooled because I truly was like, this insufferable idiot. If anything, Diplo's doing a great job and helped them. So I don't know why you're doing all this. And then he like turned and I was like, oh, I guess I was invested. I don't know. Maybe I did like the movie.
It just happens. Like when Bilbo almost died off the side of that mountain, then that guy was like, he shouldn't even be here. I was like,
yeah,
he almost died. Yeah.
It's like, be nice.
Thorin's not a nice guy. Like he's kind of both in the movies and in the books. I mean, like, I think the movie makes him a little bit more or tries to make him a little bit more likable because he's like supposed to be a noble king or like a valiant, you know, warrior or something. But he is also like, you know, he's very rude.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And the last minute is they see the lonely mountain in the distance where a sleeping Smaug is awoken by a thrush knocking a snail against a stone. And then all that gold drips off. I kind of like that part.
I like that part because I was like, ooh, more fun is to be had in the next movie.
They had to do some sort of cliffhanger.
I was like, maybe shiny. My problem with this movie is there was no eye candy. There was no Orlando Bloom. There was no Viggo Mortensen.
That's true.
You know, we only got a little bit of L. Ron Hubbard. So I think I wanted more sexy. And that's not to say that Bilfer and Bofer and Ori and Nori and Phil and Killy and Balin and Dwayne, they're not, you know, terrible looking. But
Killy and Feely are supposed to be. They're like young. They're supposed to be like the young, spry ones.
That's funny.
I don't know. I don't know how to describe. I'm trying. Like, I don't even know how to differentiate them so that you can know who I'm talking about.
Right. It's like they don't give them enough.
No. Yeah. They don't have enough to do. There's too many. I agree. They should. Some should have died, so we could have gotten to know some of them.
Yeah.
Wait, who's Linder?
I know. Okay, so he's from Flight of the Conchords, Brett McKenzie.
But who was he in the movie?
Okay, so there's the part where this is actually funny.
I guess he's an elf.
He walks down the stairs when they first get to that special place, like they cross over that bridge and they're suddenly in the elf world.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks down the stairs and then Mike was like, they gave Brett McKenzie a bigger role because he's famous by the time they did this part. And then I was like, oh, let me rewind. I didn't see him. And he was like, no, you just like were looking at him and that was him. And then you said, let me rewind and find him. Because I didn't think he looked like that. So he's the one, because he has no beard. He looks totally different, but he has this elf long hair and he has like you know, 10 lines at a point in where they first get to the little elf world.
Yeah, he's just like one of the elves who like meets them. He's not really an important character.
I have another question. So you mentioned the Tooks. So Belladonna Took is his mom?
Mm-hmm. So they're talking about her blood, like her bloodline. Like her her bloodline. They talk about it later on. They're like, I forgot what the name is, but like one of Bilbo's from his mom's side, great, 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 great grandfather was so big he could ride a horse. And once he like knocked off like this goblin's head and it went into a hole, and that's how the game Golf like was.
Oh my God.
Like that's the level of childness.
That's like, that this
is, like that's what it's supposed to be. That's why this movie really is a little schizo, because it's very much like, it's 100% based off this children's book. So it's so silly. You have all these dwarves whose names rhyme. Like they, all of them rhyme. It's like Feely and Keely and Owen and Glowin and Nori and Dory and Nori. And then you have like, they're just like, you know,
I can't
and then
believe
like,
you rattled all those off.
I know, it was like, you knew them, like they were your friends.
But you just have all the, and they're, it's like, they're singing songs and it's like, there's like trolls and like all of the things are very like, it's all like mishaps and like, mm-hmm. it's a fun little thing. But then the movie, because it's linked to this Lord of the Rings trilogy that is very much like much more mature, it's like, well, we got to add violence and fighting. And so it's mm-hmm. like, it's like kind of, it's too dark for a kid's movie, you know,
yeah.
like it's weird.
I know. Cause I was thinking it was so silly and fun that I was picturing showing my nephews, but I was like, they might be scared of this. Mm-hmm. Like, there seems like there's too much that.
Wait, how old are they?
7 and 4.
I think they would be scared.
Yeah.
And it is weird because it does teeter between being super silly and then like, oh, we cut this man's head off and we're going to roll it to him and he's not going to be happy about it.
How about that big character that had like balls for a neck?
That was wild.
The Goblin King, yeah.
Yes, the Goblin King was the wildest looking creature I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
I did not like him.
That whole sequence is like crazy because it's gross. He like slits mm-hmm. his throat.
That was sick.
Yeah, it's and then, like, pretty fucking vulgar.
But after he does it, the Goblin King goes, that'll do it. Like,
well, that's the point. I was like, this is Goof Troop. Like, he was like, peace out. And he just like fell off a bridge.
True.
Like,
that'll do it.
That'll do it. It's like, that's the skit. Like, it's like, what are you, what
well,
is
then that's
this
why
movie?
It's, like, not scary because it's so like silly and dorky mm-hmm. in those moments. Then I was kind of like, hee, like, that's fine. Like, I'm not like, but like, because the other movies were kind of trying to be more serious.
Yes.
And then it makes the part like when they're spinning the wizard on the floor, like it makes it funnier because you're like, okay, it's not that serious. Like, so there's got to be a middle ground somewhere in here, but mm-hmm. I don't know if we found it.
Yeah.
Do you want to do some trivia, Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the scale illusion was accomplished by placing hobbit or dwarf actors and actresses further away from the camera than Sir Ian McKellen, but still live on the same set. So yeah, we talked about that. This time, however, the illusion had to be accomplished by having the other actors and actresses on a completely different set.
That's so crazy.
While McKellen performed his part all alone on a green screen set with only an earpiece connecting him to the performance being provided by the rest of the cast.
He hated
McKellen
that.
Ended up feeling lonely and frustrated. To cheer him up, the cast and crew snuck into the tent in which he stayed during breaks and decorated it with mementos from the Lord of the Rings films, mainly old props and tapestries from Rivendell and Lothlorien, as well as fresh fruit and flowers.
I can't take that.
That is so sad. He had why couldn't he hang out with them?
Yeah.
In between.
Well, I guess in between they were shooting. So then during their shooting, they'd be setting up for his shots. So or they were shooting it simultaneously. I don't know. That's
so
sucks.
Sad.
I would be so upset to be alone. Why did they do this?
That's so depressing.
To try to make it look more realistic, but it doesn't look any more.
No, they
I mean, to me, it doesn't look
job,
any more
I
or
think.
Less realistic. Yeah.
I felt like it was even more confusing in this one than other ones. I feel like the scale was almost more dramatic.
Yes.
Than I had seen it. And then that seems like a flaw. Like, it felt like there was a point where, like, you're like, they're that small? Like, I mean, I was like all over the place.
While filming the Battle of Abba,
you get all the hard words, yeah.
Richard Armitage Thorin smacked himself in the face so hard with his shield that he managed to bite completely through his lower lip. The injury can be seen in the finished movie when Azog holds up Thoro's severed head and Thorin screams. The left side of his lip is swollen and there's a pool of blood between his gums and his lip.
Ew.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Daniel Radcliffe, Shia LaBeouf, James McAvoy, Aaron Arkin, and Tobey Maguire were considered for the role of Bilbo Baggins. However, Peter Jackson has said that his first choice was always Martin Freeman. Freeman was initially unable to accept the role due to scheduling conflicts with Sherlock in 2010, but Jackson reworked the entire shooting schedule for the trilogy to accommodate him. Well, that's
imagine.
Nice.
I would Can love to be at that point in my career.
That'd be
where
amazing.
Someone's like, oh, we'll adjust things for you. Instead, they go, cool, you don't get to go to Marisha, and we're going to shoot this movie without you. The method of creating the Hobbit feat was changed for this movie. Could you tell? This is something that just happened.
It seems pretty specific.
Very specific.
I was so excited to go to this island, and they said, we can't work with this.
I want to hear more about that later.
I'll tell you. The method of creating Hobbit feet was changed for this movie. The Hobbit feet, they look bigger. For the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the prosthetic feet only fit over the actors and actresses' feet, requiring them to be reapplied after periods of walking in them. For this movie, the prosthetic went all the way up to their knees.
Why? Oh, that seems bad, too. It feels like they could make a shoe that you could just put on, like with a sort of, I don't know.
But I guess their ankles are out, so like it would have to be a boot that would go past their shorts.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, that seems annoying to have to get your feet with prosthetic makeup for hours and hours. I guess it's better than your head, but the first movie in Peter Jackson's Middle Earth franchise without Oscar wins. This is that one. Okay. It was nominated in three categories, but failed to win in any of them.
Wow, that probably hurt that ego. The movie went through several stages of pre-production hell, including separate legal disputes between New Line Cinema, Peter Jackson, and the Tolkien family members, which complicated production. When MGM finally moved the project forward in 2008, more complications ensued when MGM entered bankruptcy and froze production, causing director Guillermo del Toro to step down after 3 years of pre-production.
Ugh.
Oh my God. Later, it was almost cast out of New Zealand when several unions and guilds blacklisted the project, and shooting was delayed again when Peter Jackson was recovering from surgery for a perforated ulcer.
Oh my God.
Yikes.
And then the last bit of trivia was that this was released the same year as the novel's 75th anniversary.
Oh, wow. So maybe it was delayed for a reason.
Yeah.
It was fate. Yeah. What do you guys feel like the themes of this movie are?
Oh my God.
What are we, back in school? I guess the themes are.
I feel like friendship.
Friendship. Maybe taking a journey that you didn't think you needed to go on to become the person you needed to be.
Risking yourself for others.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's true. Yeah.
Lying to pretend like you're better than you are by being like, I was trying to help you all along. when really you were just there because you felt like you were left out.
I don't know if you guys talked about it before, but like, you know, there's a lot of talk about how Tolkien wrote this book, and I guess to an extent The Lord of the Rings, based off his experiences from like fighting as a soldier in World War I.
Yes.
And so that's like, essentially he's kind of, Bilbo is like an avatar for him, where it's like he had this very nice life where he didn't have to think about, like, he had food, he had a shelter, he was like, I live in the Shire, everything is nice, and then had to go to war and literally like encounters all of these things that he'd never seen before, all of this violence and destruction and all that. And he's like fighting for something good, you know, and it kind of changes him for the better. Who knows, you know, but that's,
That's interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm truly gaslit every episode of this show because now I'm like curious about the second movie. I'm like, well, what's going to happen with all these people? Will we get some smoke shows who are fun to look at? Or will it be the same old dwarves? Who knows? I don't.
I don't either.
I do.
Does Smeagol / Gollum come back?
I think so, right?
No. I don't believe he comes back in these movies. He's not. We've passed his part. I actually don't remember, but he's not in the book anymore. I'm pretty sure he's not.
I mean, that makes sense because he's like obsessed with the ring, and I guess you'd have to turn the storyline to like Gollum trying to get the ring back.
Yeah, right. It's not about that. You're gonna get men. There are
lots of men.
Okay.
There are men, or at least a man coming, and elves.
One.
Oh, an elf. We're getting a cute elf.
You're getting more elves. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like
elf
the elves.
Women are hot and elf men are not. That's my take.
That's a hot take. I like all elves equally. Also, this film earned $303 million in the United States and Canada. It grossed worldwide at $1 billion and it's the 15th film in history to earn over $1 billion. That's literally insane. That's so wild. $1 billion?
$1 billion for one third of a story.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's crazy. God, these people are rich. The film holds a 64% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes with an average score of 6.54 out of 10.
And I think that's way lower than any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
They all had like 10 out of 10.
People did not like this. Christopher Aroff from The Atlantic said, "It frequently seems as though Jackson was less interested in making The Hobbit than in remaking his own famous, fabulously successful Lord of the Rings series." That's pretty rough.
Oh.
I don't think he was trying to remake Lord of the Rings. It was so much. Actually, maybe I do because it was. I don't know. Who knows?
I think it's more like he's trying to make it as epic as those movies and try to lean. He didn't lean away fully, but in some ways he leaned away from like the childishness of the story, you know? Like the eagles don't talk in this, you know.
Right.
I think like the troll, the way that the troll finds Bilbo is not by just reaching back, but in the book it's like the purse talks. Like he goes to Bilbo's trying to steal something, and the purse is like, "Hey, who are you?" You
know. I remember that. Yes.
It's like very silly and child. Like everything
I remember that
is
from
childish.
My play. I do. The main criticism of An Unexpected Journey was the decision to split the story into three films, as well as the intricate treatment of a simple children's book story. So people were just like, make it simpler, I guess. Yeah. And the film was nominated for 3 Academy Awards. As we said, it was best visual effects, best production design, and best makeup and hairstyling.
And they won an Academy Scientific and Technical Award, the Scientific and Engineering Award for inventing a technique which has made huge advances in bringing to life computer-generated characters such as Gollum to film and screen.
Oh, yeah, because he was, like, the first. I mean, it was him and Jar Jar that
him
were, like,
Jar Jar
the first.
Two of the first CGI'd characters. Well,
I mean, I think we learned far more than we ever expected.
Honestly, yes, John.
Unexpected journey.
We went on an unexpected journey.
Very nice.
I'm genuinely excited to watch the next one. This happens every episode. I come in being like, I'm hot. I hated it. Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about it. It actually wasn't so bad. I did love that Looney Tune who had birds under his hat. I loved when he brought that little thing back to life. So there's things I liked.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heart. Like it. I remember watching this movie, and when I was in the theaters, and I actually watched this with my family too. Oddly enough, I feel like my sister got proposed to. Literally after we saw this movie, like we
went.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened. Because the whole family was together because we were including my brother-in-law because we were watching this movie, like around Christmas time. And what I remember thinking watching it in the theaters was like, I know this is too long and this is like not exactly right, but I'm happy to be back in Middle Earth. That was kind of like it was like So watching it right after Lord of the Rings is pretty tough because, you know, these movies came out like, I don't know how many years, like 8 or 9 years later. And so there was a good distance between them. And so when they came out, it was like, oh, nice. Like I'm returning to this place that I knew, you know, but they're long.
Oh, right. Because with the first ones, they shot them one after the other. So like,
yeah.
Ian McKellen's age difference really wouldn't be noticeable, even though they were those three movies came out 1 year apart from each other.
Right.
So it's like he was aging much more than the films, the process of making the film. That's interesting.
I'm interested to know how you guys like this, because I don't, for me, the second movie is, I think it's higher rating around Tomatoes, but I don't like it. Like the second movie is like, to me, very little happens. Like, very little happens in this movie, but in that movie, very little feels like.
What's the runtime on that one?
It's still like a 3-hour movie.
It's gotta be.
And it's like, what were we doing, guys? Like,
but the
you're
dragon
really
looks
stretching
so cool.
This. Yeah, you will see the dragon.
Like, that might be enough for me.
The dragon does look cool. Wait, so it's called The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug?
The Desolation of Smaug.
What a funny...
Why do some people say it's Smaug and some people
Smaug.
Say
Smaug?
But in the movie, it's like some people said Smaug and some people said Smaug.
I guess it's Smaug.
They couldn't keep track of who was saying what.
He's like,
oh, actually, this isn't that bad of a runtime. 161 minutes.
At least in the hundreds. That's actually good.
Right? So like an hour and a half is 90. Uh-oh.
No,
no
it's,
yeah.
Almost,
it's never. That's 240.
It's 240.
Yeah,
never mind.
Oh, never mind. I can't do math.
I thought it was, like maybe two hours.
I was like, wow, you're really like you've watched too many long movies. You're like, oh, that's not that bad. It's 20 minutes under 3 hours.
I mean, it is so wild that all of these movies are 3 hours long.
It's
wrong.
It like, is wrong. Morally wrong.
It is.
And there, I think I'm almost positive there is extended versions of these movies, which I don't even know how that's
the
possible.
The third one doesn't seem to have a theatrical extended one. The second one does.
Okay.
The I feel like if you have, if they're extended, minutes. It just is like bloopers that they kept in. They're like,
honestly, I would love it just to be bloopers. Peter Jackson walking in frame and everyone's like, Peter!
Do you think there are bloopers somewhere? I would like to watch that.
I would also like to watch that. Yeah. If anyone knows about bloopers on any of the Lord of the Rings movies, we would like to watch them.
Yes. That seems fun. They're 3 hours long.
John, do you have anything you want to promote?
Just the podcast, I guess. If you listen, Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood podcast on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts.
And Astronomy Club.
Yeah,
if you haven't watched Astronomy Club on Netflix, yeah,
it's
that's
very
right.
So funny.
Yeah,
they have a great sketch where people are eating a gingerbread house, and that's as much as I'll give you. You got to watch it. It's funny. Oh, there's also a great Cat Williams sketch. It's a funny show.
Yes.
Watch it.
Oh, thank you.
Nicole, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, I want to plug wear a fucking mask because we could have had a summer. I would like to have a fall. Please wear
Seriously.
A mask. Lauren, is there anything you want to promote?
I want to promote don't wear a mask. I love this the way it is now. Wear a fucking mask and follow our Patreons and help us get through this.
Help us get paid since we can't fucking leave our houses. I have a Patreon, a 90 Day Fiance one. Lauren has a Patreon where she's doing a whole lot of cool stuff.
Just go find it. Everyone, please. And please tweet at us, Lord of the Rings. I actually have found some of these posts interesting that people are tweeting stuff at us. And I'm like, actually interested. I feel like with Star Wars, there's too much.
There
and
was so
it starts
much.
To be like, who cares? But
I think the thing I like about the Lord of the Rings fans is there's no, it's like unbiased news. They're just telling me facts. It doesn't have a spin on it where they're like, this is why this is better than this, blah, 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 blah. This movie sucks. It's just like, I like all of it. It's all pretty nice. The Hobbit, not so much for me, but here's some information about The Hobbit.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a kind fan base.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's because it's the books, you know, by all of the movies are going to be, you know, not lesser, but like it's not the books, right? Like when you're reading a book, you kind of envision what it is in your head, and then the movie translates that, and you're like, oh, I like some of that, and I didn't like that, or whatever. You're not that precious about it, but they get into like this imagined, created world, and so I mean, I'm not that like I know there are like Lord of the Rings fans who are like who know Elvish and like can speak in Elven tongue,
Mary Holland. Yeah.
So
yeah. It's a whole world. Everyone loved Mary, by the way.
It made me so happy.
The comments on Mary's episode, they were like obsessed. And her Elvish really shined
bright.
Well,
I was just like, she made it sound so romantic in a way where I was like, oh, I'm foolish for not seeing the romance. I almost watched the movie again. And then I woke up and I said, you silly bitch, you'll never.
That would be literally insane if you watched it again. I don't know what would happen. It's not okay. Okay, we have our Battle of the Five Stars segment where we read reviews. And if you leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, you'll get a chance to have it read on air. So this one comes from Purple Frog 25. It's called The New Queens of Gondor. I am a huge Lord of the Rings nerd, and this podcast was the most entertaining and delightful thing in the world. It means so much to me to welcome new people to the fandom, to criticize the many annoying and weird parts, and to obsess over these characters with someone else. Thank you for coming to Middle Earth. I hope you like it. P.S. The trilogy is better than The Hobbit. Sorry, not sorry. Thank you, Purple Frog 25. This is
adorable. That was, see, yeah, these people are so nice.
That was so nice. I think our Star Wars five-star reviews were like, C-3PO wants to bend you over or something. It was like,
goodness. Yeah, our Star Wars, the Star Wars, they were a little wilder than these people. Yeah. Are just like kind, and they're like, thank you, like thanking us for coming to Middle Earth is so adorable.
It's really
nice. Welcome to Middle Earth. I hope you like it. That's incredible. Yeah, Star Wars is like, if you don't like this, you're the worst person ever.
All right, till next time, we're gonna be talking about The Hobbit 2: Return to the Hobbit Land.
Thanks, John, for being here.
Yes, thank you, John.
That was very fun.
Bye, buddy.
That was a HeadGum Original.